listen?
No, but I don't think it's appropriate for other people to hear that. Yeah. So it's, yeah. Oh, what was I going to say? You were asking me about the fast I'm on. Oh, I was going to say that, because you said, well, shouldn't I be having electrolytes and things like that, you know, taking salt in my water? And I think, if I recall correctly, I believe things I had read, but also specifically on an interview mm-hmm. with the guy who owns this clinic, I think it's like Morningside Clinic or something in California, where it's all about fasting. They will take people as far as 40 days of no food, only drinking water. I believe the host of the podcast he was interviewed on had asked that question. He said, no, we only give them pure water, basically what pure rainwater would be like. And based on what he said there and other things he had said throughout that interview and other interviews and presentations I watched of the same doctor and leader of this clinic, I basically got the feeling that based on what he has experienced and has done repeatedly thousands and thousands of times and carefully tracked, is that a lot of the things that we assume are vital to our health to get by mm-hmm. are only based on our current existing diets. But if you change the way our diets work, that's not true for our bodies. It's only true for our bodies so long because our bodies are seeking so hard to receive homeostasis, right? Going back to what it knew. So it can freak out on you. Let's say we're used to getting so much salt in a day and et cetera. Well, then if you are not getting those as you are as you're used to getting, but you're still doing all the same activities, you're trying to eat the same or whatnot, you haven't really changed much. And the bacteria in your gut hasn't changed much. Your body's functioning as it wants to. It's going to go whack on you and can cause, you know, temporary symptoms. Saying, oh, you need, you know, this or that, you know, these electrolytes or the salt in you to get by. But like if you are going through a cleansing period, you know, you're really resetting everything, and you're allowing your body to say, all right. We're changing the bacteria in our gut because, you know, we're not eating these same things anymore. We're not eating at all. We're just drinking water. Yeah. Discover that your body has a really strong ability to adapt, which I thought was interesting. I mean, if this guy's done it thousands and thousands of times.
Adapt to what? Gross foods?
Adapt to the fasting state that they're in. Mm-hmm. But yes, when you come off it, you are supposed to like
eat a cheeseburger.
No, actually, you're supposed to eat just very natural foods, like just vegetables with nothing on them, fruits with nothing on them. But thing is, because you have been away from food for X amount of time, it's gonna those things will taste a lot better to you. They're gonna taste like they have so much more flavor, because your palate is adjusted to no longer having super enhanced flavors. But also, when you come off a 7-day fast like I'm doing, or 20 days when other people do it, or whatever it is,
yeah.
If you go back to the normal food, your guts aren't ready for it, and it can make you sick. Pretty dang sick. It's like injecting you quickly with a bunch of toxins. It's normal to get diarrhea and vomiting and other symptoms from that. And I don't want that. I'd rather jump straight into yourself. Like, oh, I'll have some carrots and broccoli and some beets, right?
For the rest of your life?
No, just for a couple of days and stuff. And
so you're going to starve yourself, and then you're going to get sick and crap your pants.
That's what some people do.
Sounds like a bad idea.
But and some people do that. Like my brother-in-law, he'll just go right back to what he's eating, and he experiences, you know, the normal symptoms because your body's like, wait, I just cleaned myself out and right?
Are you going to do like a colon cleanse or something?
I would assume this is kind of a colon cleanse.
I don't know. I watched some documentary about this, like 400.
Are you volunteering to stick a thing up my bum?
No, I'm good.
Sorry, you were saying about the gross, Rob. No. You keep your hands away from me. I'm so tired
not.
Right now, so I laugh too easily too.
No, so anyways, this documentary, there's this like 400 pound guy and he fasted for like 51 days, and when he started it, they had him do a colon cleanse. They like lubricated this tube, shoved it up his butt and blasted water.
If people could see my face right now, I'm just thoroughly in shock.
You're smiling. No.
My eyes are wide.
And what? They had this like
massage. That's what a colon cleanse was? I thought colon cleanse.
Well, I don't know.
You could do it through like clinic. Just juicing, like just like having juices.
Maybe. This was, I don't know.
Like a tube of it? A power washer.
Pretty much. So what it would do is they would have him be on his side. Then they would put the tube up. And then they would get this massage thingy and put it like on his side of his back and all around his, like on the sides. And it would just like massage out anything, and the water would shoot out, and then it would go back out, go in and go out.
Oh, like, isn't that taking the tube in and out?
No.
I was like every couple of minutes, that'd be the worst thing ever. Like, just leave it in.
Oh my gosh.
You mean the water would come, well, they'd shoot the water in and it'd come flowing out.
Yeah, the water. Until, so it was like a bath for your colon. Our listeners
are really hating this conversation.
Yeah.
So you said it was like a what? A bathtub?
Like a bath for his colon, I suppose.
You're right. Squeaky clean. That's disgusting.
Yeah,
but they did that the start of his fast.
I think so.
Probably to make it easier on him, and also
probably like a couple days in when he was done symptoms. Pooping.
So I do recall that like this is like I know we don't normally talk about health things on the podcast here, but it is interesting to know.
I'm your brother, by the way.
Oh well, I haven't introduced who we are. I thought I'd do that after the intro music. This is all everyone, intro sounds and stuff.
People are enjoying. Continue.
Thank you. But when people go to like this fasting clinic, right, they'll go there with all sorts of health problems caused typically by their weight, by their health, their lifestyle. Most health issues, almost all health issues nowadays in America are caused by our lifestyle, whether we're being too idle, you know, we're not exercising enough, we're eating too much rich foods, or around things that just give off things that are bad for our body.
Mm-hmm.
We don't do the right things to correct ourselves. So what do? We medicate. We usually take a lot of drugs too to take care of ourselves. And so when they come, when they do this fast, they stop needing their medications not too far in, because their bodies are no longer harming their bodies. That caused their bodies to require those medicines. And eventually their bodies start excreting and getting rid of all the toxins from those medicines as well.
So are you going to do like a sauna or something?
What do you mean?
Isn't that like a toxin thingy?
I mean, yeah, saunas supposedly are supposed to help you detox as well. I haven't read much into that. It could be true. I don't doubt it, but it is normal, like when people do 20, 30, 40 days of fasting,
mm-hmm.
that they're when they've had all these health issues, for their bodies to start stinking really bad. And even for their bodies to like have discharge of weird colors, you know, from their eyes or ears or other pores in their body, to get like almost like a skin thing start coming out, right? It's almost like maybe you get a rash that temporarily comes up because your body's like, oh, we have all this, you know, all these drugs that are trapped in these cells in our body, especially in this one part of my arm. It just starts flowing out of there through a rash. Huh. It's normal to have those sort of reactions. But at the end of it, you're healthier and you're better. Now, I'm only going to 7 days and I'm almost done with day three. Almost.
You look a little frail.
I look a little frail.
Like a frail little man.
I feel like a twig. Yeah. I do. Like it was the weirdest thing, I would say, that only started happening later in the day yesterday, was that my legs, especially my feet and ankles, started tingling. Which is like really weird. I'm like, what?
Yesterday?
What am I having? Like nerve issues or something? But yeah, but like even right now they're tingling. Like my feet are tingling. But maybe it's just because like I'm sitting in the
bottom
chair.
Of your feet?
Tops. Huh. And then the bottoms of my big toe.
Huh.
Right now.
She'll get a massage at the end of it or something.
Well, perhaps. I mean, I went to a massage therapist.
Ask him for yesterday. A colon cleanse.
Do you happen to have a power washer for my butt?
Yeah. We have miso soup.
Oh, gross.
Gross. Rectal miso soup.
Ah, stop.
Okay. What's it called? Where you take a pill backwards?
Enema.
No.
That's what it is called.
No, but it's there's a name. I'm gonna look this up. I got it's gonna drive me
pill crazy. Backwards. Yeah, it's an enema.
No, an enema is where you like shoot liquids up your butt
or medicines.
Let me look this up. Rectal pills.
Oh my gosh,
I'm a little scared.
Okay, I think we need to move on. You're taking this down a really dark place. When I say dark, what I really mean is a really gross
suppository. That's the word. What the heck were you thinking? Anyways, you could take up suppository.
Don't you have like a suppository of medicines? Yeah. Do you mean depository? Or
like... You're listening to The Alex Spicer Show, where we like to focus on God, family, freedom, and religion, and discuss the true principles that ensure our happiness and our success in light of current and historical events.
All right, well, welcome to the Alex Spicer Show. Now that you've heard all this, you're probably not listening anymore. You're checking out really quick. This is yours truly speaking here with my co-host and fabulous brother with a really gross inventory of words to use, like suppository. Rob, how's it going, Rob?
My dad's a doctor. Your dad's a doctor.
Okay.
It's true. So,
but how's, okay.
We'll blame it on him. Next. Scripture of the week.
Now that there is, well, this wasn't the topic of the day. topic of the day. 7-day fast, colon cleanse, power hoses, and suppositories.
Yeah.
Peace. Well, okay, so topic of the day is a Disney walkout.
Okay.
So I find it very interesting that you, me, and others were talking, the group were talking about, well, I brought it up. I said, you know what? We need to have a walkout movement.
Uh-huh.
And I'm trying to decide if I have the energy or time really to really do this right. But maybe I should anyways.
And the know-how.
And the know-how. But I think you only know as you go, right? You have to figure it out as you go.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But about having I was telling you guys, and we had the conversation around, like, I really think we should have a walkout on Disney.
Mm-hmm.
Now, maybe we don't call it walkout because I don't want to steal that name from that guy who started the LGBTQ walkout on the Democrats.
Oh, that's called...
it is called the
walkaway.
Oh, it's called the walkaway. Okay, so I was saying it wrong. Either way, I don't think walkout sounds quite right. Maybe I could, but...
You know, he got arrested and had to pay all these fines, and he's on house arrest. For January 6th.
Yeah, I remember that. You had mentioned that. I didn't see the interview.
Yeah, if you listen to his account, there was like all this violence going on the other side. On one side. But he was on the other side. He had no idea what was going on. He live streamed it all. There was no violence going on. And the police were ushering them in. Letting them into the Capitol.
I've seen the videos of people being ushered in. Yeah. There's like a peaceful area. And then there's like the violent area.
Yeah, so it's like. He didn't think he did anything wrong because he had no idea there was something crazy going on.
Well,
the other
that's
side.
Our government today. They give no craps about what. Honestly, it's not innocent until proven guilty. Mm. It's guilty till proven innocent. And even now, they're like, we don't care if you prove yourself innocent.
If you're not,
we have a score to settle. How dare you stand? You know, have conservative values. How dare you be here? Like, unless I don't know if you knew, but the people. Who have been in jail this whole bloody time since January 6th.
Yeah.
The only ones who are let go are the ones who renounce their political beliefs.
Oh,
isn't that messed up? It's like, whoa. So we've gone full Nazi, basically. I mean, not full Nazi, but like, but those are Nazi tactics where you have to be like, and it's communist tactics too, where you're like, hey, either you swear allegiance to the Reich. And you say that this is your beliefs now, or you enjoy more times in the gulag or in the prison cell or in the camps, right?
Right, yeah. Oh, man, that's messed up.
It's way messed up. And now I've lost track. What was the topic?
Well, it kind of ties into Disney.
The walkout.
Because they kind of expect you to believe the same thing as them.
Well,
at any cost.
Yeah, they want to indoctrinate you. They want to ensure, I'd say, that they don't expect you to. They want to ensure that in the end, you do believe the same as them. And that's why we're having our conversation. We need a walkout on Disney. Like, yeah. we need a walk away. We need to have a movement, because there are tens of millions of Christians, and let's say not just Christians, but other people who are of other faiths, especially Muslims, who don't agree with this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that they, all of us could link arms and say, we're not doing this anymore. We're not going to attend your parks anymore. We're going to cancel all of our Disney Plus subscriptions. And that is a major source of revenue for them. Like, so major that, oh yeah. There's the reason why they jump there is because now they have a regular, steady, consistent source of income they can count upon.
Hmm.
I mean, like it is a major source of income for them. So okay. Imagine if you have tens of millions, or if I can dream large enough, 100 million.
Yeah.
People say, oh, hey, you know what? We're not going to your parks anymore. We're not buying your toys anymore. If it has anything Disney related, no toys. We're not buying those toys. We're not buying your DVDs or your digital copies. We're not paying for your Disney Plus subscriptions anymore.
Yeah.
And what if you can get that movement to go more worldwide and make them just hurt for it? And more importantly, now that people are not spending all this money on a crappy organization,
mm-hmm.
put it towards new organizations. And this is the irony I was trying to get to, is that we were talking about this last night, and then the next morning you're like, hey, Alex, you see this Glenn Beck is doing a thing where he's trying to start something called the Florida Project or whatever. Basically, he didn't give enough detail, but it sounds like it's going to be where he creates an organization that is going to create content or at least somehow be in competition with Walt Disney Corporation.
Mm-hmm.
But and then right before you got here, Rob, I was watching a Daily Wire live video where they are saying we are actually going to have a full on network for kids shows, all uh-huh. cartoon based. I missed like the first part of it. I saw the tail end of his speech, and then I saw his Q&A.
Whose speech?
Jeremy Godking's speech.
Oh, okay. Boring. Jeremy Godking, boring.
Boring. I couldn't remember his last name.
the God King, they call him. Oh my gosh.
But it's interesting. It's fascinating because I'm like, okay, we were just talking about this, and now we have two major organizations who are seriously going to start doing that, right? That they're going to start creating a place of value where you can pour your money into. So, but thing is, we still need the walkaway movement, right? The walkout on Disney movement.
Okay, yeah.
The mouse out, as I was trying to call it.
Mouse out,
yeah. Walk away from the mouse. We still need that, because then we can rally and we can start taking money away now,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
properly, through choice rather than through other means. You know, where you're like, you go after their sponsors, whatever else. You know, Disney has a lot of money. Stop giving them any other money.
Yeah,
and then save that money to pour it into these organizations. Like, that would be perfect if we can get people together and organize on this thing, and already fasting, speaking of fasting, mm-hmm. already fasting from a diet of crap.
Mouse crap.
Oh, it's just awful. A diet, fasting from this diet of indoctrination. I mean, I try to be very careful about what my kids watch on there to ensure that they're not getting crap.
That's right.
But I know it still happens, right? It's still, there's got to be things I don't know about that has already happened. And then how many other parents are not as careful, though they want to be? And they are getting indoctrinated. Their children are getting indoctrinated. They're getting exposed to this crap. You shared an experience, right, of when you were babysitting your niece and nephew.
Ironically, we were going to Disney World. We rented an Airbnb. And
they were watching actual Disney Channel, weren't they?
Yeah, they were on the Disney app. I think I was babysitting. Maybe the parents went out and did something. And our niece was just perusing, and I noticed one series called something about Out, some, you know. And I must have looked earlier because I was aware of it. I can't remember how I was, but so I know that, okay, that show, they're not supposed to be watching that. I know that for sure. And then when the parents
why
are gone,
weren't they supposed to watch it?
Because it's some cartoon about a guy who's has like a boyfriend or husband, and he's scared to tell his parents, and then they, you know, happily ever after.
So yeah, total indoctrination right there.
Anyways, so she's watching it, and I'm like, "Are you supposed to be watching that?" And she's like, "Oh yeah, it's fine. My parents let me watch this." I'm like, "No, they don't," and I had to turn it off. But that's how they are. They're very sharp. So, yeah. So kind of scary. And that was a year and a half ago. So
that's freaky.
Can't imagine what else they've had. Actually, it happened again when I was visiting, our family.
How long ago?
Out east. This was last Halloween.
Oh wow.
Yeah, we're like, oh, this one looks kind of fun. It's like some vampire one, and this Hispanic girl is like a vampire, and it's kind of quirky. Kind of had like a Nacho Libre vibe. And then, and she's like, and my crush. And then it zooms in on this other girl and the hearts.
What?
And it was just like, these are kids.
Wait, is this the show where everyone's kind of a monster?
I don't know. We stopped watching it after that. But she,
oh, actually, I think I know what this
maybe
show
it's
is.
Called Fangs or something. Something about the teeth. Maybe it's about teeth. Or,
gosh, my kids have watched that. Really? Quite a bit of it.
Are you sure? That's not a cartoon, though. It's real people.
Oh, it's not a cartoon? Okay, never mind.
Yeah.
Because there's also a vampire-based one that's cartoon that's not about everyone being monsters, but there are vampires.
Yeah, that's crazy. Yeah, now that I think about that, two Disney app shows that have homosexuality in it, and I've seen it both with my nieces and nephews from two different families, and I don't even have the app. Like, I don't even watch this. The few times I watched anything through the Disney app is with family, and that's rare, and that's crazy. So that's a lot. Yeah.
Hey, so
I wanted to ask you, how do you deal with it? Because you have the app, but
I know, and that's why I wondered. That's why I want to cancel. Oh yeah, I want to cancel. I have to convince the wife to do so.
Yeah, that's why I wanted to ask you. How does she feel about all this? Because she loves Disney.
Well, she typically she just feels it's dumb because it's an interruption to her life, right? And it's an interruption to anyone's life. And, yeah, and so that inconvenience, you're always going to get pushback. But like, we've got to dig deep and say, well, screw it. Like, you know, heck with this. Sorry, I'm not trying to be all using bad words.
Well, you
just
got to,
like,
replace it with something better.
Replace
or
it.
The same.
Or even like, well, replace it with something better could be something like, hey, you know what? We're not a TV-based family, so more reading, more writing. You know, more of that. Living in your physical environment world, right?
I imagine that's hard.
It is hard, but the thing is,
stay at home mom.
Well, speaking of the niece and nephew we were discussing earlier, mm-hmm. and their parents, I was hearing from our brother-in-law that they do that a lot more. They now really have reduced so much of the TV. They stopped doing the Disney Plus.
Oh, they deleted it.
Yeah, okay, and for them. But they also stopped TV kind of in general, and they have only some movies in a DVD fashion.
Okay.
So they're very limited, and the kids do a lot more other things. And they've noticed a big shift in their home. It's just a matter of me trying to convince the wife, like, this is something we should do.
Yeah.
And we need to do. Because, like, I've been wanting to be that way since forever. Yeah. Because I believe there's so much more to life, and I believe my kids can do so much more to shape the world if they are not distracted.
That's what happens when you marry young. You come to this later on in life. And if you were me, if you would have just stayed single till you're desperate and sad all the time.
Oh my gosh.
You could have figured it all out.
I figured this out in the beginning.
Oh, okay. All right, whatever.
There's a lot
scratch
of good books
that part out.
There's a lot of good books I could recommend people read for them to open their eyes on the subject, but it's fascinating. Yeah, so we need a walkway. We need a walkout. And if we can have this movement, right?
Uh-huh.
Maybe just because I'm physically tired from fasting. But the more I think about trying to do a movement like that, I'm like, oh, it takes too much work. But it's necessary.
Right.
I think it's totally necessary.
Plus, they have, like, they own all the superhero stuff. And they're gearing up for Doctor Strange coming out. And I think everyone would be like, I'm on board, but maybe after this, you know what I mean?
I know, and that's a dumb thing, right? It's like, guys, just throw the trash away now. So back when we were kids, the expression used to be that some of the media we consume is kind of like having a plate of brownies that someone sprinkled a little bit of poo on it in one area. And it's like, yeah, like it's decently pretty good, but there's a little bit of poo and fecal in one part, but it's not bad. Or they mix it in the ingredients. Like, there's only a little bit of fecal, and why would we consume that? But now, it's like half the ingredients are fecal.
Yeah. Well, metaphorically, what does the fecal represent, and why are you against it?
Yeah, so the fecal represents the indoctrination to something non-biblical, not, immoral, and wrong. Okay. So, for example, like CRT is one thing, homosexuality is another thing, transgenderism is another thing. Things that will literally ruin a society. As you and I believe, and it's fundamental to our religion, family is the fundamental, is the most basic fundamental unit of civilization. Right. If the family breaks down, civilization breaks down. And family always breaks down when you introduce these sort of things. In fact, this is why I'm convinced when you look at older civilizations such as the Anglo-Saxons, from which the founding fathers took a lot of their ideas from to make the Constitution. And thing is, Anglo-Saxon stuff took a lot of their government and organizations, at least organization behavior, from Moses when he was managing the people of Israel, and he had people over 50 and 1,000 and stuff. They had that sort of organization, but they had a group of laws and a more democracy based sort of government. But one of their laws, though, like they're one example, like the Anglo-Saxons and many others out there throughout time, where they would literally make homosexuality punishable by death.
Woo!
And here's the thing, right?
That's crazy.
I don't think it should be punishable by death, but also same with adultery. Sometimes, it would be punishable by death, or they would just kick you out of the village entirely, which is almost the same thing, because you'll die, right? But I believe that now that I'm understanding more about how crucial family is to civilization. Yeah, that makes sense that you would come down on this hard.
Yeah.
Not because people always take this viewpoint of, well, they were just ignorant bigots and, you know, they just attack and kill anything they don't recognize. Eh, there's that in everyone's nature, and that hasn't gone away now.
Yeah.
I look at all the progressives. What do they attack and try to kill? Everyone who doesn't agree with them. But at the same time, if you understand just how crucial family is, then yeah, it makes sense to have harsh punishments against letting those sort of corrupting things enter society as a whole. Now, I'm saying this, I'm not saying those people are bad or evil, per se. What I am saying is, the indoctrinating children and making civilization more in that way does produce people who end up with really bad outcomes. Produce people who lose their principles and lose their sense of morality and right and wrong and just governments. And then eventually you have no strong nation at all. You're weak, easily conquered, or you collapse in on yourself.
Yeah.
I don't believe that you should punish people for those things. But you know what? I would be all for there being some serious punishments for, let's say, adultery. Because that is someone effing with, you know, like that is someone messing with the family unit in a very, very bad way, right? Yeah. It's like, hold on. Even if you aren't perfectly satisfied in your marriage, get over your bloody self and figure out how to be happy, because you can.
Mm-hmm,
people figure it out all the time and have throughout the ages. Make it work. When you go out and you are harming your family, your relationship with your wife, and ultimately the kids you do have, you will have or do have, if you do have any currently, you are messing with that. And that could cause divorce and breakdown. Kids get, you know, emotionally screwed up, and then they struggle to have good, strong, healthy marriages and families. It's very hard.
Yeah.
It messes with all that. It causes a lot of societal issues when you do that. So I'm definitely for the idea of, like, yeah, there should be some harsh punishments for people who commit adultery, right? Because that's one thing that really, really messes with the family unit, and the family unit should be paramount. But we're at a time where the family unit doesn't matter at all, right? And we have mock family units. where you have these homosexual couples and they start having kids. Those, I call those mock family units, because there are fundamental serious differences between men and women. Yeah. And they both bring things to the table. It is a mockery of God's sacred union, and also
of how it is in nature. It is, I mean, God in or out of the equation, it still makes a mockery of it. I was thinking about that. The way our society is set up, it's so, successful, maybe, like, it's so abundant and therefore more entitled. I was thinking about if, you know, I don't know, some apocalyptic thing happened and all of a sudden all these trans people can't get needles in them to change their testosterone or estrogen, and then, you know, the guys start growing their beards when they wanted to look like a woman, and all the women are losing their beards because they start turning back into what a normal woman looks like. It's like everything hinges on it, and then, like, gay people can't have children through, like, a petri dish, you know, how they go about it now. It's just everything hinges on how successful our society is right now. It's like they literally cannot survive without these advances in science, and I don't know, stop me before I start.
That's exactly right. I think there's a point to be made that even historically, look at the Roman Empire, other empires that grow to a larger, they get pretty big, mm-hmm. and they get pretty advanced in their technology and their prosperity. Mm-hmm. It is pretty normal to see outgrowths of weird, I don't want to say weird, I'm trying to be rude, I just mean like deviations from what is normal.
Yeah.
You get more of that. And that's pretty typical with prosperity, because now you have to worry less about surviving and you have more ability to be selfish. Don't we have more ability to be selfish now than ever in the history of America?
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. Well, like, it's not like Rob, like, oh man, we are bushwhacked, man. You and me have been working the field all day. You drove that plow really good. That man, that stock horse, he's getting a little bit worn down. We got to get another one here soon. Like, we're not actually doing that crap. We're like, oh man, first world life. Oh, at the end of my day, I'm fasting for 7 days right now. That would probably kill me 30 years ago or 50 years ago, whatever.
Yeah, in a different time.
Because of all the work I'd have to do. Or actually, even 50 years ago, there's a lot of prosperity then. But if we go back 100 years, right, where it takes a lot of manual labor to do much of anything. We have the ability to be so selfish, and selfishness can breed all sorts of strange the scriptures even call it strange paths.
I notice that society is more self-centered and making themselves people look to God, and now they're kind of looking more to themselves. And
I
was just thinking about how it's like the careers people want is what they're seeing all their idols do, which is, you know, I want my own YouTube channel that's succeeding and making a lot of money and being an idol to other people. And I have to catch myself not falling into that trap too. Last Sunday I went to church with some family, and one of the guys talking, he was teaching the class, and he's like talking about how he wrote a book. And it's a self-help book. And I'm like, what? Like, don't you have to accomplish something really big to create a book that's going to help everybody? You know what I mean? So I just feel like everyone's in that mindset of like I'm awesome, which could be good to a point, but it's like false confidence.
Well, this belief that we have something to contribute when we have nothing, we have no substance, right?
Yeah.
It's like that. Dang it, I'm really blanking. I think it's because of my brain being tired right now. But there's in their scripture, maybe it talks about like the something of things without the substance of things. What is it?
Sounds familiar.
The appearance of things without the substance, right?
Okay.
And that's what we want, right? We want to appear Like, we have so much to contribute, and we want to contribute, but we also don't actually want to go through the work that takes to be someone who has something to contribute.
Yeah.
Right? It's like, man, I want to have a big impact on my community.
Right, yeah. Yeah, I was viewing it
on the world.
In myself. I was just like, man, everything that I would want to do as a career is everything that is selfish and... And so then I kind of had to like pivot and think, how can I even make this a career, even if I wanted to? Because everyone in the United States wants to make a career of something that's fun rather than like, I want to grow up and pour cement. Which I've done that and it sucks. So.
all the cement layers are right now listening to like, son of a monkey.
Yeah, come at me, bro. Come on. No, honestly, yeah, I should just buy a plantation, just live off that, and no internet, nothing, just disappear.
And I think motivations matter a lot, right? Like, I'm only doing this podcast, and I hope it develops into something more. Not because I think I'm awesome, but because I feel driven by a mission to have a positive impact on my nation. And so what I do right now is for free. I don't think I'm awesome. In fact, I believe there are a lot of other people out there with far greater talent and sharper minds than mine.
Uh-huh.
But because they're not saying the things I think need to be said, I'm going to say them. Because someone needs to.
Okay.
If I don't go anywhere with it, my life is not going to be ruined.
Yeah.
Right? I continue to provide value in the world and provide for my family very well by being responsible and fulfilling my duties.
Mm-hmm.
But this is something that's like, well, if the value here is meaningful enough that it reaches more people and it grows, then good. I will be able to put more time. I will put more time into it because I am doing something positive. But if it's like, if it's so selfish based, it's like, well, I just want to make money because, you know, I can look silly on YouTube and make sounds with my mouth. Or it's like those YouTube channels where people are literally just chewing on food or whatever.
Yeah. What is it eating called? ASMR.
ASMR. So weird. So gross.
Yeah. It's like we peaked as a society, and this is where it goes.
Oh, I can make money just by having a microphone close to my mouth and chewing, and people go, "Oh man, I heard that noise."
Yeah, there's like
so
one. I was listening to an interview. They interviewed this lady who has like a OnlyFans or something like that. I don't know if that's what it's called, but anyways, it's like she just films herself all throughout the day, and she gets her most viewers at night when she's sleeping. People pay
gross
to watch
like, creepy
her.
Well, I also saw there's this person similar to that where they're selling jars of their own farts. I'm serious, like
fart.
there's apparently there's a market for everything, but at the end of my life wouldn't be like, yeah, and I used to sell my toots to a bunch of creepy dudes.
Oh, that's so gross.
Who'd light a candle over it? I don't know. Sorry. This is why I really dislike Gary Vee. Gary Vee has written good books, and I think there's good things to take from some of the things he's made and written. But especially at the beginning of the pandemic, I just eventually had to turn it off. I'm like, this guy is just... Because there's like he does these presentations... And he, first of all, his presentations are, can often be very against the commandment to honor thy father and thy mother.
Oh, yeah?
Where he's like, yeah, call your mom and tell her, F you for ruining my life, for, you know, giving me these inhibitions. I'm like, you know what?
Jeez.
For a man who used to be a Jew, that's unfortunate. I mean, maybe he's ethnically a Jew. He's not a practicing Jew anymore. Huh. Not at all.
Uh-huh.
But more importantly... the point I was trying to get at is I got so sick of his content because he would do these things where he's just like, yeah, you just got to keep pushing. You have value to provide, right? And you just keep posting on social media. Just keep going. And it's part of this. He basically is no different than those motivational speaker crowds whom I used to do marketing for.
Mm-hmm.
Where all they're really doing is they're just trying to sell you on a pipe dream. Mm-hmm. And they're just encouraging you to do something more selfish and more damaging to you and your family, to be more of a waste on society. Because the odds of you making it, you really making it without requiring everyone else's resources to keep you going because you're not self-sufficient, are slim to none. It's extremely rare.
Uh-huh.
Now, if you start doing... That's why there's so much more to be said of the individuals who do something out of kind of fun, right? And but then it starts to take off into something more,
mm-hmm.
as opposed to being like, yeah, like I'm just gonna post every day. I'm gonna do this. I'm gonna live in my mom's basement, which most of the people who follow Gary V's sort of pathway is what they do, or they have to mooch off of someone else for a time to get it going. And for a time, sometimes that's 3 years. But you just keep posting, you just keep doing it. It's like, how about we focus on being good, responsible individuals who care more about being good in that way rather than being so selfish. Like, I have to be a social media influencer.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, for me, I post messages on social media. I do these things. Not because I'm like, oh, I've got to be the social media influencer. It's just because I have a thought and I want to share. I'm naturally a teacher at heart. I just want to share what I'm thinking about.
Mm-hmm.
You're naturally a musician, an artist at heart through music. And so you share it. Mm-hmm. Right? You share those videos on YouTube and other things like that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And yes, there's always a secret hope that maybe it takes off somewhere. But that's not what we bank on, right?
Yeah. I mean, I did for a while, but yeah, I don't.
And I'm
to the point where I'm okay.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to be famous anymore, which I think I could probably say I was pursuing it for the wrong reasons and convince myself it was holier and higher or whatever. But ultimately, I just feel like God's given me a talent and I just want to make the most out of it. And I don't care if that means I'm famous or not. It just means I just want at least one of my songs to go somewhere. That's why I'm diving more into songwriting, because at the end of the day, it's like, that's a talent he gave me. I'm not going to say I'm a good singer or whatever. I'm hoping that it just makes use of the talent God's given me. Because it'd be cool to write a hit song for somebody. Because I don't need the accolades, and that'd be a pretty miserable lifestyle to not go anywhere. And unless someone needs you to sign their baby's head or something. So kind of a pivot in life I had like a year or two ago.
Yeah, I think, you know, we're at a place now where those of us who should know better are knowing better, or we're trying to wake people up. That's kind of what we're doing here. We're trying to get people to wake up and be like, we need a shift in how we consume and how we produce and how we do things. We need to stop consuming content that is now half crap, because eventually it's going to be full fecal. Full on malarkey.
Uh-huh.
And we can and should produce our own. And that's why, like, Daily Wire is doing it now. Glenn Beck's going to do it now.
That's right. Disney needs a colon cleanse because it's full fecal. See what I did there?
Disney's like, it's kind of like the current bush that grew too big and large and was basically a shade tree at this point. It needs cut back almost all the way.
Yeah.
And then let it regrow carefully, you know, with the right sort of growth, right? Yeah. Leadership, you know, but I don't know if it can.
Mm-hmm.
Even its investors, people who own a portion of the company, are these woke people, are these, you know, people who are, you know, mega dollars people.
Yeah.
I believe Steve Jobs used to own a part of Disney at one point. Maybe not, but
he started Pixar and Disney bought Pixar.
True. But I believe like, Disney has like a board,
huh?
And there's a lot of woke people on there. You gotta believe, you know, you have these billionaires who are just, yeah. You know, the reason why the Great Reset is, you know, is a real thing. It's a bunch of rich, you know, people who have a desire to just corrupt the world into what they want it to be, and they know that the way that they can control the world the way they want it to be is by us being controlled in our minds. If we are weak in our minds, we will never be able to oppose them and see what's coming and stop it. Yeah. We'll never stop it, right? We'll always be distracted with our own dumb stuff, really dumb stuff. So we need a walkout. We need a walkout on Disney. It needs to be done. Ever since they came out with that, you know, they were like, oh, you know, we oppose, you know, what this is, don't say gay bill, which is not what it says. That's not what it's about.
Mm-hmm.
It's very sad. Like, they are literally torching their base. So why is the base, why are we taking it?
Mm-hmm.
Why do we go, oh, just put up with it? I mean, it's got to end. It's got to be done.
Yeah. Yeah, it is interesting. It's geared towards families.
Yep.
And they're attacking. And and they think they're moral and right and righteous, and that's why they're very headstrong about what they're putting out there. That CEO or whatever that lady was talking about, one of my kids is a transsexual or transgender or whatever,
and the other one's a pansexual.
Yeah, it's like, what does that even mean? They're into pans?
Like, why are you such a terrible parent?
Yeah.
I mean, like, if my kids started thinking that way, first thing I do is completely pull them out of school. And anything else that I would assume is corrupting their brains. And if it's in, but thing is, if you say that is what your kids are, then you have kids who are confused. They are not those things. They are confused children, and you are indulging their confusion.
Yeah,
that's child abuse. That is straight up child abuse. That is disgusting.
I think it's all these kids were being raised in a different era. In any other time in humanity, they would, none of them would even consider any of those lifestyles. Because A, they would probably get killed because that's how it was in society. Or B, it wouldn't even cross their minds and they would live a normal life. But now we're so, it's like, yeah, like the current bush, we need to get chopped down. We're too abundant that now we're like thinking too inward about, well, maybe I am this, maybe I am that.
And when you require technology, technological advancements, whether it's in surgeries or, you know, other medicine, etc., in order to keep your fantasy alive,
yeah,
then you know it's completely unhealthy and you need to quit. I'm gonna say it again: when Dungeons and Dragons people love to go LARPing,
yeah,
that's fun, maybe even a little bit silly, very silly,
yeah,
but the LARPing ends when you know they do a game of LARPing, they're done. For those of you who don't know what LARPing is, that is live action role playing, where instead of just playing Dungeons and Dragons, they're going to go out, maybe even dress up, go somewhere and pretend they are this elf, they are this dwarf, they are this troll, and they're fighting, you know, these monsters. And that's fun for a time to imagine.
Yeah.
But then eventually you go back to reality because, you know, if you continue to say that's what you are, you are a freak, right? That's not healthy, and people are like, something wrong with you. It's the exact same in this manner, or for transgenders and stuff. It's,
gosh, there was a quote that I read yesterday that I sent to our mom about how, gosh, I'm gonna butcher it was so good. Anyways, that's all. No, I'm kidding. Now the quote was it was lying to someone because you're scared to offend them is like cowardly, and telling someone the truth, even if it offends them, shows that you love someone. And oh, and if someone lies to you and doesn't tell you the truth, it's they hate you or something like that. Gosh dang it, I ruined it. But basically,
those are some good points to make, right?
The people telling you truth aren't doing it to offend you. They're not doing it because they hate you. They're telling you truth because it is truth.
Yeah.
People who are complicit in a lie and want to lie to you actually hate you. I don't know.
There's a lot of selfishness wrapped into that, right? If you're going to tell people lies because you don't want them to get offended and upset.
Yeah.
Well, then you love yourself more than you love them. And I mean that. I really mean that. If I, as a parent, am unwilling to say certain things to my kids that they need to hear, it's because I love myself more than I love them. I'm more worried about how it's going to hurt me. Like, maybe they'll get mad at me. It's going to hurt their relationship with me.
Uh-huh.
It's like, right? You can do things in a jerk way, but that's not what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Oh, you're absolutely right. And that's where we're at, right? Like, that is true love, to be able to speak the truth.
Mm-hmm.
Even when it hurts. Great point, Rob. So, scripture of the week is Exodus chapter 1, verses 16 through 21. It sounded like you were going to start singing there for a second.
Oh, I said, yeah, boy.
Oh, yeah, boy. Yeah, scripture boy. Of the week. No. We should do that together. Ready?
No, I'm not doing
that. 1, 2, 3, scripture of the week.
I'm not doing that.
No, you almost did it. I saw your lips start to move like it was, like, it's catchy.
Just record it, put it in later. I mean, like, make an actual fancy recording.
For sure. Scripture of the week is Exodus chapter 1, verses 16 through 21. I like this section a lot of the scriptures because it shares a an example of really good courage. So you have the king of the land, Pharaoh. He's king over all of Egypt. And he's a powerful dude. He's enslaved the children of Israel. And he's thinking, you know what? They're too powerful. There's too many of them. They could easily overrun us, perhaps. So let us put a fix on that. So he goes to the midwives, and these midwives are not Hebrew. It's very obvious that they're not Hebrew based on how it's described. And he says to them, hey, when you help these Hebrew women give birth, if it's a baby boy, kill it. Like right there, right then and there on the stool. If it's a baby girl, let it live.
My baby, my choice.
That's right. Well, he says, this is the King James Version that I'm always quoting from. It says, verse 16, and he said, the Pharaoh, when you do the office of a midwife to the Hebrew women and see them upon the stools, if it be a son, then ye shall kill him. If it be a daughter, then she shall live. And I like this next part. But the midwives feared God and did not as the king of Egypt commanded them, but saved the men children alive. So they didn't do it. They were like, we fear God more. And fear is not mean like I'm afraid God's going to strike me with lightning. Fear really actually means like a reverence for. They have a respect and a deep internal feeling and even sometimes obedience towards God. Like that, like they do want to show some respect for the commandments or for how they ought to live. Uh-huh. And obviously murdering is not right. The Ten Commandments aren't even out yet, but that's always been a very clear thing you don't do.
Yeah.
And so they feared, and so they didn't. They saved the men children alive, the baby boys they didn't kill. And the king of Egypt called for the midwives and said unto them, why have ye done this thing and have saved the men children alive? It's like, what the heck? Why did you do this? And they're like, and then the women, actually, they lied to him. The midwives lied to him. They said unto Pharaoh, because the Hebrew women are not as the Egyptian women, for they are lively and are delivered ere the midwives come into unto them. Meaning, oh, they're not really like the Egyptian women where they need a midwife for the baby, to let the baby come out. Where the Egyptian women will typically wait for the baby to come. These Hebrew women are so robust. Like they're just giving birth to babies before we even get into them. So we don't even get the chance to kill the babies.
Hmm.
They're lying to them. But here's the interesting thing. It says, therefore, God dealt well with the midwives. And the people multiplied and waxed very mighty. And it came to pass, because the midwives feared God, he made them houses. Meaning he established them and blessed them. And they were basically revered and known thereafter.
Uh-huh.
And the Lord, favored them. He did a good, he blessed them for not killing the Hebrew baby boys. And for fearing him, for reverencing him, having a reverence for him. But here's the thing, Rob, let me ask you. So were they wrong to lie to Pharaoh? What about the commandment, thou shalt not lie?
What's that? I was going to say, keep your forked tongue behind your teeth.
Keep your forked tongue behind your teeth.
Yeah. This is a trick. It's a trap, man. You tell
me. You're quoting all these movies now. It's a trap. I think we have a mistaken understanding, like most things in life and most things with religion. We have a mistaken understanding when it comes to being honest and lying. The commandment, thou shalt not lie.
Mm.
I think, generally speaking, yes, you should not be lying. You should always be telling the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, I'll say this point later in a moment, but they showed a lot of courage in first disobeying orders. They chose not to kill, the baby boys, and they saved their lives, which is a very, very good thing. And turns out they weren't killed for it. Pharaoh didn't say, well, heck with you. Like, what did you do? I'll kill you now for not obeying.
Mm-hmm.
But then when it came to, well, why did you not do it? They weren't honest with them. But thing is, clearly at this point, Pharaoh is an enemy. Pharaoh is an evil person.
Uh-huh.
I don't believe we have a godly responsibility to be honest with evil people. I think deception is in some cases appropriate. In this case, and in cases where we are around evil people, it is appropriate.
Mm-hmm.
Thou shalt not lie is like, yeah, you should be an honest person. And then at times, like, it is important to deceive someone who is evil and going to commit very evil acts.
Yeah.
Because that would actually be the right thing to do. Empowering them with information. Especially if you empower them with information to do something evil is something you shouldn't do. So, for example, let's say, Rob, the midwives did say, well, we just didn't want to do it. Well, then all the Pharaoh had to say was, well, then I'll just get better midwives who are more radical and will obey me and just do it.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, they're able to keep their position and they keep taking care of the birthing process for all these Hebrews. And they continue to save lives. So eventually, Pharaoh had to turn to his own people and to his own guards and stuff, his own forces, to have them go and grab the babies and get them killed.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine how worse it would have been if now your own in that day, that's their version of having a doctor, right? Having a hospital. Imagine if your own clinics now would kill your baby without telling you they're going to do that. They'll just kill it at random. Can you imagine if America was that way today? We're going, my wife is about to give birth here in a couple of weeks, and that's for reals. I can't imagine what it would be like if we're like, okay, we're going to the hospital, and the doctors are like, well, if it comes out this gender, I'm going to kill it. You know, or maybe for any dumb reason, they just have a desire like, oh, man, it's not passing this Apgar test very well. Killed it. Mm-hmm. Like, you just killed my child, and we have no power over that.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's far better that these midwives who are acting as the delivery hospital system of the people, mm-hmm. they continue to give the Hebrew people a safe way to give life,
uh-huh.
and keeping that safe. And then, yeah, if Pharaoh has to move on to a different resource, then let him do so. I mean, I think that's better, to deceive someone that evil. That way there are less people harmed.
Yeah.
Right. He had to go to a greater extreme to accomplish his evil means, rather than be able to accomplish it more subtly, where these Hebrew women are not suspecting it and suddenly their midwife kills the baby. Mm-hmm. Right. So yeah, I believe we actually have more of an obligation to deceive evil people so that they cannot commit more evils.
Uh-huh.
Or we don't make it easier for them to commit more evils.
Yeah.
And
makes sense.
Yeah, I think that's totally appropriate. I think we take, it's very easy as Christians and any religious people to take things to an extreme.
Mm-hmm.
And we go, oh, it's kind of like the translation "thou shalt not kill" is actually mistranslated. It should actually say "thou shalt not murder," because murder is wrong. Killing in times of war has always been justified.
Right.
So
Moses killed someone.
Yeah, he did. Defending a Hebrew slave's life. And Moses led the armies of Israel to fight and kill other people. They had many battles. Huh. He had to hold a staff up for the power of God to rest upon the Hebrews for them to win the battles. I mean, clearly there's something. I mean, even after the Ten Commandments are provided and Moses is gone and Joshua is taking over, he leads them in battle, right? I mean, we don't really understand what these commandments are. I think we misunderstand them. And I think the midwives are a great example we should follow. We should follow that example of having enough courage to disobey evil. If you are a police officer out there and you're listening to this, if you are military personnel, if you are in the government and something, you are told to do something that is wrong, that is it is against the Constitution, it is against our fundamental rights, have the courage to not do it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Even if it means you're going to get some backlash or suffer some consequences for it, don't do it. And this kind of leads on. Actually, let me just give this example. There were guards, Nazi guards, who were commanded to kill Jews and they wouldn't do it. And they were never killed for disobeying. There were people in Nazi Germany, when all the bad stuff is happening, who refused to participate and do those bad things.
Hmm.
And they were never killed for it. They continued to live.
Interesting.
Which is great. Like, if they had died for that, I think you should be willing to die for what is true and uh-huh. what is right. But they didn't.
Mm-hmm.
But they did refuse, despite all the pressure, to do it.
That's good.
So book of the week, though, this ties into what we were just talking about. I strongly recommend you should read Dennis Prager's book called The Rational Bible, Exodus. Now, he's making one of all the first five books of the Old Testament, the books of Moses. He started with Exodus because it's a more fundamental book to how our society is shaped today. And then he goes to Genesis secondly. But you should listen to it if you have Audible or read it. It's a fantastic book where he provides a lot of background to some of these passages of scriptures and also rationalizations for why do we think God would say this? Mm-hmm. And then things start to make a lot more sense. Why certain commandments would come out there that just go, well, that's kind of weird. Like, why would that even be okay? It's fantastic. I really encourage you to listen to it or read it. He gives that example in there about the midwives and going on to people in Nazi Germany opposing those orders to kill Jews. I think it's a fantastic book. It's very enlightening. It will really enrich your scriptural studies and give you new perspective and insight. And Dennis Prager is a Jew. He's an active Jew, mm-hmm. and he studies the Torah and has his whole life. His insight is very, very invaluable. All right, Rob, let's go to movie of the week. Start us off. The movie is Holes. So why should people watch Holes? Like, what's so good about Holes?
Just really well developed. Good characters. Better ingredients. Papa John's.
Better pizza bar. Yeah.
Yep.
Why'd you start watching it? Like, so you started watching it. I came back and I was like, oh. We started watching it together.
Yeah, well, I read the book a month or two ago. It's good.
So, was the movie really that good, or was it more nostalgia from childhood?
It was really that good. Next question.
Well, I enjoyed it because it has good characters, teaches some good lessons. I like how it has this theme that I know the author maybe didn't mean to give this lesson intentionally, but you have the Yelnats family, and they're cursed because their grandfather did not carry that lady. She gave him a pig. He made the pig get healthy and strong through her instructions. Then she said, well, you need to help me get healthy and strong too after all this by carrying me up the mountain and giving me to drink. Mm-hmm. He doesn't, leaves her, so she curses him. And ever since then, the Yelnats family men have been cursed. You know, they've had bad luck ever since.
Yeah.
But interestingly enough, though, I guess you want to call it fate, where he ends up at this Stanley Yelnats, the fourth, ends up at the camp for delinquents because he got charged for stealing shoes he didn't steal. And that's like bad luck. It's like, man, he didn't even steal anything. Now he's a delinquent at this camp. And then he is now with this, what you discover later, is the boy who's the like the great-great-great-grandson or whatever of the lady who cursed the Yelnats family.
Yeah.
And how he ends up, because of the circumstances that take place in the book, he ends up undoing the curse. And I think that goes back to a lesson that I was trying to share with us earlier in a different episode, which was we can look at bad things in our life and recognize the hand of God in it. Like if I were Stanley Yelnats the fourth and this was my real story, I would recognize, wow, God has a hand in my life. He brought me and the only other person I could undo this curse with into my life and just so happened to set up the right circumstances that I was able to act in exactly the right ways to undo this curse.
Mm-hmm.
How fortuitous, right? Do we just say, oh, what a great coincidence. It's nothing to it. No, move, look away. You know, I think if you read that book, you don't think that either. You may not think God. And obviously it's a fiction book, so I'm not going to be like, no, it's God's hand in there because it's a fictional story. Mm-hmm. But I think it can convey that lesson. Mm-hmm. You know, it does reinforce that lesson that if we look carefully, God does things like that in our lives here and there. That through the bad, he's producing something good. Mm-hmm. Through Sin Yelnats being wrongfully accused, he broke the family curse and brought great happiness and a much greater outcome for his family.
Yeah, it's like the hero's journey. It's good.
Yeah, hero's journey for sure. And and this providential intervention. It's something that even Tolkien does a lot in The Lord of the Rings. Mm. Well, that's all for today, for this week. If you liked what you heard, please subscribe and also leave us a 5-star review, because anything else would just be wrong. You leave us a 5-star review, please, and share this with anyone that you think could benefit from listening to this. Like I said, nothing we talk about here is a benefit unless it matters to you. And if it matters to you, share with someone else so it can matter to them as well. It can have an impact on their thinking. It can have an impact on your character. If we can change ourselves, we become better, then ultimately our nation changes, our world changes. And we need more of that. Well, thank you for listening. Stay free until next time. Live free until next time. Excuse me.